This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds. You know Michelle Norris as the former host of NPR's All Things Considered. She's working on a project with NPR called The Race Card Project. It's aimed at fostering a wider conversation about race. Before joining NPR, Norris was a reporter for ABC News. She's also been a staff writer for The Washington Post, The Chicago Tribune, and The Los Angeles Times. Welcome. Thank you so much for coming by.
It's great to be here.
Well, the race card is something you might play in a discussion. It's often a trump card. What do you mean with the race card project?
You know, I used that term very carefully. I chose it deliberately because I've never liked the term race card.
Why?
It's non-specific, and it's always meant to shut down a conversation. When someone says you're playing the race card, it's sort of an accusatory finger saying, stop that. I don't like what you're saying, or let's move on in the conversation. So I literally tried to turn that phrase on its head and to use it to stoke a conversation as opposed to stop a conversation. And I wasn't really trying to be trite with it, but it is a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but it was a way to say you're invited to this conversation, you have a place at the table, and this is a conversation that's going to continue as opposed to something, a phrase that's used to try to shut everything down.
And I understand this partly came out of your 2010 memoir, The Grace of Silence. How did it develop?
Well, when I wrote that book, it was about my family's rather complex racial legacy, and I knew that when I went out to talk about the book at bookstores and lectures, auditoriums, that I'd be talking about race, because that's what my story, you know, was really about, is capturing that element of my story when I look back at my parents, my grandparents, and their path from Birmingham to Minnesota. And I had the sense that people were afraid to talk about race. I'm not sure I was correct in that, but I thought that people would lean out or maybe even run away, you know, from that conversation. And so I was trying to figure out how to make them lean in, how to invite them into the conversation. And so I literally went to the Kinko's in my neighborhood and printed up 200 of these cards. And your thoughts, 6 words, please send, on race. And I was amazed when they started to come back to me. So I went and printed more, and I got my publisher to print some more. And then I created a website where I could display some of them. And then over time, they started to come in by the raft load. And then the submissions now come in largely via Twitter or electronically. And there are some 38,000 that we've archived and tens of thousands that are in the queue that we've yet to archive. And so I thought no one wanted to talk about race. I'm willing to admit I was wrong about that.
What are some examples of some of these 6-word comments about race that really stick with you?
Well, some of them just stopped me in my tracks, and we've done a few of those stories on the air. Black babies cost less to adopt. I mean, I still remember the day I opened the inbox and saw that. And we did a piece for Morning Edition that explored that, and we talked to several families who've been involved in transracial adoptions. And indeed, in the adoption system, the fee structure, it's not that children have a cost attached to them, but there's a fee structure attached to adoption. And in that fee structure, there is a sort of sliding scale that is based on race and to some degree skin color, even like light skin versus dark skin. Adopting a white child has a much higher fee attached to it than adopting a child of color. And there are all kinds of reasons for it, and many of them are benign. You know, reducing that fee to allow families who might be locked out of the process to participate in adoption, particularly for children who are represented in large numbers in the adoption pool. So that's a good thing. But everyone involved in the system says they don't like it. And they all admit that there is some measure of supply and demand involved in there also. And it just says a lot, mm-hmm. You know. So that was one that really stuck with me. Reason I ended a sweet relationship. My son is not half, he's double. We just this week did a series of conversations about people who've reached back to learn more about their ancestors and their personal connection to slavery in America. So we heard from someone whose 6 words were, found my ancestors and grief too. And another woman, her 6 words were slavery's legacy broke my family pride. So they're about deep things, but some of them are just people use humor in wonderful ways. Total non-issue when the aliens arrive. underneath, we all taste like chicken. You know, so it's amazing how much people can pack into just six words.
And provocative six words that start a conversation. The project presupposes that talking about a problematic issue is a good thing. But is that assumption always true? I mean, sometimes we get into conversations about difficult things and they accelerate.
And they don't resolve.
Well, they don't resolve. And
right.
In fact, they get people more annoyed about the issue.
You know, that can be the case. You dump all the stuff on the table and then everybody pulls away and no one has dealt with anything.
Yeah.
That's one way of looking at it. I take a slightly different tact. This is a case where if you go to the Race Card Project website, I guarantee you, you're going to confront something that you don't agree with. You're going to find an expression either in the six words or in the story attached to those six words that you might not agree with. Some of it might make you cry. Some of it might make you laugh. Some of it might really turn your stomach or make you angry. But what I have tried to do here is to create a vehicle that captures in this moment the honest conversation about race. And so that means including things that some might find unsavory. Because if you look back 20 years from now at this archive and try to understand where we are and try to see this as an honest conversation, you need to include everything in that conversation. So it's not meant to resolve any kind of issue. It's not meant to be a sort of healing exercise necessarily. It is merely a vehicle to start conversation and to capture conversation.
I'm talking to Michelle Norris about the Race Card Project. It's an initiative she's doing in a partnership with NPR, and one of those provocative ones came from Seattle we saw. It says this: "All 52 years of my life has been affected by white privilege and racism. My son is biracial and now graduated from college and approaching grad school at a racist institution, the University of Washington. I'm concerned that at UW, Asian people have taken over and are continuing to carry out the legacy of racism," end quote. So how can a post like that start a constructive conversation?
Well, there are all kinds of things packed into that are really uncomfortable. The overrepresentation of Asians in institutions of higher education. Now, we should not pretend that that is not something that people are discussing. They may not discuss it on the radio. But to be sure, there are people who are thinking about this and talking about this.
And calling it overrepresentation.
And calling it overrepresentation. And it's easier to deal with something when you know it's there. So if you don't agree with this statement, it's easier to deal with that if you understand the attitudes or in some cases the animus that is out there. I mean, he made a fairly strong charge against the University of Washington. He said a racist institution. I'm sure that there are people who will hear this and reel back and say, wait a minute, he can't say that. Prove it. We're not a racist institution. That is merely his point of view. But we also know that university administrators across the country are dealing with issues of diversity and inclusion and equality. And that those discussions are sometimes very prickly. We saw the video that was created by black men, for instance, at UCLA, you know, about the black male experience at UCLA. Mm-hmm. And the video was very well produced, high production values, but basically a number of black men speaking their truth to the university saying, our experience on campus is not all it should be. So one of the things that comes through in the submissions, whether they be from Seattle or almost anywhere else, is that they're not about big moments necessarily. When we talk about race, it's often attached to big seismic moments or anniversaries. The anniversary of the March on Washington, the Trayvon Martin ruling, the election of America's first black president. What comes through over and over again in the submissions, and you see them in the submissions that have come in through Seattle and through the partnership with the Seattle Community Colleges, are small moments. And the way that race is experienced often, not in big seismic ways, but in little ways, the way the person encounters you when you go to order coffee as opposed to someone else, putting money on the counter instead of in your hand.
Sure.
And you have no idea why they did that. They might have a cold and they just didn't want to, you know. But someone else says that reminds them of living in at a time where that's what you did for people of color. And you wouldn't touch them. Instead, you'd put. And so it feels like an offense to someone else. Someone who is Asian in their external appearance, but doesn't necessarily identify culturally as Asian because of where they were raised or how they were raised. So this sort of fluid sense of identity, or the idea that you can be one thing, that identity is sort of fluid. You know, we have this wonderful initiative at NPR right now called Code Switch, where you can be one, you know, you adopt a certain language or outward expression in one setting and something else in another setting. And people talk about that quite often.
Michelle Norris, she's working with NPR on the initiative called The Race Card Project. Thank you so much for stopping by today. We really appreciate it.
Russ, thank you.